This reading is from Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen.
Annabelle, thanks very much. Well, it's lovely to be back from my holiday, and before anyone texts or messages in saying it's outrageous that you're so close to somebody else, this young lady is in my family bubble. She's my daughter. So we live together. So it's okay for us to be standing side by side. And I'm clearly not a youth, but I'm just here really to help Mimi do the talk. Not that she really needs any help, but I just couldn't resist being a part of this talk. And we're finishing off a series called Reset. And because I think what a lot of us have been doing or feeling the need to do is, over this time of pandemic, these last 6 months, is because our lives have been put on hold or certainly changed, it's given us time to reflect, rethink, reimagine, and re-envision ourselves. At least I hope it's done that. And tonight I want to talk about an area of our lives where many of us should be feeling in need of a reset. So Mimi, just think, what have we been doing more than ever before because of the pandemic besides eating?
Well, we've been online. We've been online for school. We've been online shopping more. We've been online even for church, so yeah.
And meetings and all sorts of stuff, yeah.
Everything.
So I guess much of our lives have moved online. Now, let me ask you a question. Is fire a good thing or a bad thing?
Both, because it gives us warmth and light, but it can also burn us.
Yeah, so tonight we're going to be looking at things online to see what's good about it and also where it's been unhealthy for us. Where has it been controlled and where has it been out of control, perhaps?
Well, it's been pretty much out of control with... Where has it been helpful and enriching, and where has it been helpful and depriving? Where has it brought out the best in you, and where has it brought out the worst in you? So look at something positive about being online and present on social media. I want to invite Harriet up. So Harriet's been really, really good at evangelism online during the pandemic and before that, which is really great. So I'm just going to ask her a few questions, because I think she's the best person to talk to about this. So, Harriet, what social media do you use?
All of it, to be honest. But my main kind of focus for evangelism is mostly on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you use Instagram in a way that furthers the gospel?
I do a lot of things. I like to be active on social media, but there's this thing called Instagram stories, which are like 24-hour posts. And I use them the most probably to evangelize. I post verses, biblical sermons, and question answer, things like that.
Yeah, there are really good Q&As that Harriet does where people ask questions and she responds in with amazing answers. So she's clearly done her reading and apologetics. So can you give us any top tips?
Okay, I have three. And I personally think that's quite good.
Love the point.
Yeah, I'm prepared. My first one is seek wisdom, because you don't want to be talking to people about something you have no idea what you're talking about. So seeking wisdom in scripture study and then praying for understanding and praying that God's word will flow out of your mouth and not yours. And then that leads on to, you know, planting seeds, which is my second point. And you might have heard this, sowing the seeds, giving people ideas about the concept of God, and just being consistent in posting and inviting people to ask questions mm-hmm. and answering those questions mm-hmm. effectively. And my third one is pretty, I don't know, maybe it is a little bit harder, is to do it with love, because I like to win all the time. I like to win arguments, and that's not the point. we're not supposed to be trying to win an argument. We're supposed to be inviting people to explore the gospel mm. of Jesus Christ, and mm-hmm. so doing it with love invites them closer.
Mm. So good.
I think Ravi Zacharias used to say he's not trying to win the argument, he's trying to win the person.
Yeah.
I like that differentiation. Yeah.
So do you have an example of a success story?
Well, I wish I had like an amazing, you know, conversion story or something like that, but it doesn't always go that way. You get some pretty nasty people on social media, so you just have to keep pushing. But I have had some really amazing conversations with people about the gospel and the fact that they just didn't know what it truly was. They thought, you know, Christianity is so boring, I don't really know what it's about. And then you explain the gospel to them and they're like, wow, that's really interesting. And even that is planting a seed.
Yeah, completely. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thanks so much, Harriet. Okay, so Mimi, is there anything in your online life that you think needs resetting?
Yes, it's probably a lot, but do you want to talk about yours first?
No, let's move on to the next question then. Now, I don't often share what's going on behind the scenes in my own life, but someone I love very much has been really struggling in this area over lockdown. They've become very over-absorbed in social media to the extent where it has become as toxic as any drug. So for me, this is a very real issue to be talking about and helping people with. Has anybody here watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix? Guys, you really need to watch that. If you know anybody who's young and involved in social media, it's a real wake-up call. And one of the frightening things that I became aware of is that only drug dealers and social media firms call their customers users. And my goodness me, I think that's for a good reason. But as we move increasingly online, where can we look for guidance?
The Bible.
Correct answer. The Bible. And what I love about the Bible, there's so much to love about the Bible, but, you know, written thousands of years ago, and yet it still speaks wisdom to stuff that wasn't even dreamt about 2,000 years ago. For example, social media. God still speaks to us clearly through his word, through the pages of the Bible, showing us clearly how to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God and healthy for us. So I know what God wants to guide us there and challenge us there and teach us there. And also, like Harriet, have us represent God well there. So
I know your sermons always have 3 points. Maybe 4 points, maybe 5 points.
Tonight's just four.
Just four. Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting number.
So the first one, you ready for it?
Yep.
The first one is to avoid the vile and the vulgar. Here is a couple of verses from Psalm 101. I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. How is this relevant in this year of pandemic? Well, it's easy, isn't it? It's obvious. A lot of us, perhaps earlier in the summer, had a lot of time sitting at home. When you've got time on your hands, you get sucked into looking at things, viewing things, engaging with things that are online that are vile and vulgar. The obvious example, of course, is pornography. And I read that the daily activity of the world's largest pornographical website went up 20% after the virus hit and people started staying at home. But we've talked about pornography before here, so I don't think I need to remind you that it's not healthy. It does not honor God. It does not honor your marriage if you're married. It's vile and shouldn't be looked at. But there's all sorts of other stuff. And you ask yourself, Is it building you up? And do you know, whenever one points, there's always three fingers pointing backwards. And I did watch Tiger King. Did anybody else watch Tiger King? I think it was quite on the border of what was going to build me up or what was going to tear me down. I don't know. I'm not proud of the fact I watched that. But having prepared for this talk, I'm looking back and I'm thinking probably not the best use of 10 hours of my life. But let me read that verse again. I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. So imagine taking that, putting it on top of your TV or on top of your laptop screen. Would it filter out a few things that you slipped into watching? That, I think, is a hint for us to reset.
So the second area God might be calling you to rethink is what your online image says about where you're finding your identity. So how we comment and how we feel about other people's comments on our post can be a mirror into our insecurities, and therefore it can be a mirror into where we're putting our identity and our self-worth. We can be envious of someone else's platform, their success, their influence, their following, their likes, their shares, all the lot. And we can also be insecure about our own likes, comments, shares that we get. And often we are comparing our lives to other people's highlight reels because, understandably, people usually only share the best bits of their lives online. And this leads to comparison. So, Dad, do you ever compare yourself to others online?
Yeah, I do. I look at other church leaders' Facebook posts. And when they say, we had an amazing service today, we had 1,000 people, this is obviously not during lockdown, 1,000 people turn up. I've got to confess, there's a bit of a comparison there that their church is bigger than mine. And it's not good. I know. I shouldn't do it.
Yeah, so this comparison, or any comparison, can lead to envy and ungratefulness, which is usually bred out of insecurity. Now, where does insecurity really come from? This is the pinnacle of the problem. It comes from putting your identity in the wrong place, which in this case, it could very well be your online life. Our identity is the person or the thing we believe has the greatest power to determine what we're worth. It's what we follow that promises us the greatest happiness. So when we feel insecure, it's because something threatens our sense of identity. It weighs us down and makes us feel vulnerable and uncertain. If your identity is in your online life, when you aren't getting that amount of likes or followers or comments that you like, you feel threatened because your identity is being attacked. But thankfully, for us as Christians, insecurity is a warning, but it's also an invitation. It's an invitation to accept Christ as our identity. And that way, we won't be corrupted by the false beliefs about who we are, why we're here, what we should do, and what we're worth. I remember when I was younger, I was always read this amazing book by someone called Max Lucado. And the kind of analogy has always stuck with me. It's basically about these wooden people called the Wemmicks who have been carved by a carpenter called Eli. And these Wemmicks in their little city, they basically, all day, they go around putting either stars or black dots on other people. And the stars, if you look at someone, wow, your woodwork's amazing, you're so pretty, or you're so talented, you put a star on them. Oh, you've got chipped wood, you fall over too much, here's a black circle. And they just carry on doing this every day, and they would stick, they didn't fall off ever. And some people would even just give you stars if you already had loads, or if you just had all black dots, people would just give you more for the sake of it. And one day, this character that it follows, because he's got black dots everywhere, he goes and visits, or he just meets a woman, actually called Lucia, and she has no stars or black dots on her at all. And this guy says, How do you do that? How do they not stick? And she says, go and visit the carpenter who made you. And so this guy says, fine, I'll go. And he goes and visits Eli. And Eli just tells him that he's loved and that he should put his self-worth and his identity in him, and that's all that matters. And it ends beautifully with him walking out and these black dots falling off. And I think we can kind of, this can be a picture of what life is like online, because we're going around and we're putting likes on people and, you know, maybe putting mean comments and da-da-da, and it all builds up. And that doesn't matter if we put our identity in Christ. And it shouldn't get to you if we put our identity in Christ, because all that matters is what Christ says who we are, and we know that we're loved, and we know that our identity is in Christ, and that should be all that matters. So if you're feeling insecure of the online world, try to stop putting your identity in it. How are we meant to be the light and the influence in the world around us when we are bitter and envy and drowning in insecurity? We need to firmly have our identity placed in Jesus, so that when we get hate, when we get those black circles, we want them to fall off, and we want them to not faze us at all.
Thanks, Mimi. That's a powerful analogy, and I'd completely forgotten that story. But Max Lucado came to speak at my previous church. It must have been in like 2008. And I bought like 10 of his books, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed that you still remember it. So the next thing is being slow to speak. Slow to speak. Now, recently, some of you will be aware, there was this like storm brewed up on Facebook, and I got involved. Yeah, I can hear a few murmurs of, yeah, he will wade in there, yeah. It really brought home this next topic of being slow to speak and be careful how you speak. And so here's a third biblical idea for your online life. In the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. I am guilty as charged. I'm guilty as charged. There is someone else here, and I won't embarrass them, they know who they are, who I immediately reached out to, and I said, Senator, have you seen Facebook? And she said, have I seen? I'm absolutely flipping bonkers, I'm so angry. And I, sorry, Joe. I thought, I'm glad someone else is feeling like I'm feeling at the moment. But let me ask you a question and think really carefully about your answer. Does that characterize you online? Are you quick to listen to others and their perspectives? Are you slow to speak or type or respond to what you see or read? And slow to become angry or take offense at what someone else says, particularly when you disagree with them or they disagree with you? Ooh, I struggle in this area so badly. But what does characterize you online? Is that what your digital footprint reveals? Or, when it comes to Facebook posts or Twitter feeds, are you marked more by being slow to listen and quick to speak and quick to take offense? In other words, do you give in to these Facebook tirades or Twitter rants? And not only do you give in to it, but do you perhaps justify it? You might say, but they're the one who's making me furious, or they're the one who is saying stupid things, or they're the ones who are taking an insane position or making a stupid argument, so on and so forth. This means that what we're saying is, if someone makes us mad and challenges us or says something that's upsetting, we have the right to suddenly depart the Christian life. This is the equivalent of giving in to road rage and ramming our car into someone else's, only it's online. And even if it's not full throttle rage, we can give in to being sarcastic, which is more like taking out a dagger. There are two sorts of words, aren't there? There are life-taking words and there are life-giving words. Life-taking words are cutting, abusive, provocative. They tear down and put down. They hurt, wound, and maim. They stir up, they antagonize, condescend, and they patronize. Life-taking words have no place in a Christ follower's mouth. You may say, well, I was just being sarcastic. I am guilty of that. But we need to be careful. The word sarcasm comes from a Greek word that literally means to tear or strip the flesh off. I have to remind myself that sarcasm isn't neutral. It isn't tame. It can be nasty. If you're a Christ follower, you have no business and no excuse having anything close to that kind of online presence. You can just agree to disagree agreeably with people.
But do we just roll over? Surely we need to take a stand for the gospel.
Well, that's a really good point. Do we just roll over and say, well, you know, I'm not going to dispute with you over this? No, I think we need to be salt. We need to be salt and life. And, you know, if we'd had longer, it would have been lovely to hear more from Harriet, to see how she goes about taking a stand for the gospel, for refuting lies and ignorance, but always in a loving and understanding way. But you see, as a Christ follower, we're called to something higher and deeper. Here's some examples of life-giving words from Proverbs. The mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. And another one from Proverbs 15. Kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. Is that what you're like online? If not, it might be time for a reset. So to our final point.
Yeah, so the fourth big idea to think about in terms of your online life. So I'm just going to read Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. So when it comes to your online life, when do you purposefully unplug? When do you get offline? When do you consciously disengage and then use that time to engage in more important things like time with God? You can't know God if you're not still, if you're not quiet. And what's the number one way people get quiet and still today? Unplugging and getting offline. If you don't unplug from the emails and the posts, the tweets and the blogs, the feeds and the streams, then you have no quiet. This is a huge area to think about for a reset because it's so tied in with your spiritual life and has been so under attack recently. Smartphone addiction is very real. Do you feel nervous without your phone? Do you check it every few minutes? Do you say you're not going to go on it and then end up spending hours on it? Do you wake up thinking about it and checking it? Those are just a few hints at an addiction. But an easy way to monitor your usage is through screen time. And I remember being shocked by mine, and it made me delete certain apps and made me put down my phone more often. In 2019, the average time spent on a smartphone was almost 30 hours per week, and I presume it's only increased this year, especially with lockdown. Especially because of this lockdown, we've been seduced into spending more and more time online, so we really do need this reset more than ever. Amen. So let me take you to an interesting scene involving a man named Elijah. He was coming off of an exhausting run of events and activities, and he was completely tired. His life and work, ministry and effort, responsibilities and duties, deadlines and demands had left him beyond burnt out. He needed time with God desperately. And God met him at the point of his greatest need, but in quite an interesting and telling way. So let me read it from 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13. Elijah was told, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came in a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And Elijah heard that quiet voice. So where was God to be found? In the noise of the wind? No. In the power and rumbling of the earthquake? No. In the crackling of the fire? No. He was found to be in the quiet. When do you tune out of the noise and the interruption of your online world and find God in the quiet? When do you pray, reflect, and listen to his whisper? Have you ever thought about setting aside a time when you intentionally stay off social media, don't check emails, and don't visit sites? A time when you even turn off the sound so you don't hear a ping or vibration? And doing that will enable you to hear the small and still voice of God.
Gosh, deeply challenged by that one. So to conclude, I want to end with a challenge for all of us. In years past, if you were a Christian, it was pretty clear how you had to conduct yourself before a watching world. It was a physical world, and we were physical beings. So we knew to be careful physically. We knew to try and honor Jesus with what we did in public. But the world has changed. There has been a digital revolution, and it has changed our world in the most foundational of ways. As social commentators have observed, there is now a tale of two civilizations. One is physical and has developed over thousands of years, and the other is virtual and is still very much in formation. You are the first generation of Christians inhabiting that virtual world. This means we are the first generation to model Christ in that world, to represent Christ in that world, to give a taste of Christ in that world, to be a picture of Christ in that world. So we need to do it. It's all about being salt of the earth and light of the world. Do you remember our reading that Annabelle read before we started the talk? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When Jesus said we should have a life that was like salt to the earth, he meant we should live our lives in such a way that our very presence in the world acts like salt, which of course back then, before the days of refrigerators, was a preservative. And preservatives stop decay. They stop putrefaction. Jesus also called people to make a difference by being light in the world. Whereas salt is about taking a stand, light is about revealing what is real. It's about showing the way. Letting our light shine is having what Christ is doing in our life and the truth about what Christ wants to do in everyone's lives be widely known. That's what Jesus meant when he said, to make a difference in this world, you need to shine a light. Because people are in darkness, we need to let this light out. And that light is the message of Jesus Christ. That he came into the world to show us the way to live and to provide the means for us to be in a right relationship with God. Are you salt online? Are you light online? We have this double task to stop the decay and to spread the truth. Is that who you are online? Is that what your online life, your online presence, your online witness would say about you? If not, my prayer is that you would take this as an opportunity to reset. A reset for what it means to be a follower of Christ and to represent him with honor online.